Somebody had a good morning because I found donut crumbs all over the pulpit here. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but they were not my crumbs. You guys ready to do this? All right, it's great to be in the house of the Lord and to worship Jesus. And today we are in session 20 out of 21 sessions. So this is going to be on prayer today. It's going to be a little bit of a different take on prayer. Then next week we'll close it down. Just with a conclusion. And so we've been at this quite a bit. Like 21 weeks is a long time, right? And we've seen a lot of things happen in that time. But this week and next week are going to piggyback off of each other. And so I want to set a foundation this week that kind of goes into next week. I had some other thoughts around both of these weeks. And just in prayer, just felt the Holy Spirit. You know, we believe in the Holy Spirit, right? He still speaks. He's still alive. You know, the scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but he reveals them to us, how? By the Spirit. Spirit always confirms the word of God. And so, just really sense, just with some of the things going on, next week I'll be talking about abiding in the Prince of Peace. It'll be 4 points out of my new book that's coming out this fall, talking about peace. And I've been in a season myself where I haven't had a lot of peace. I've had a lot of things where God's been doing some churning in me. I've had some attacks of the enemy, and I know many others that we've talked with in our biblical community. Peace is something that many times escapes us because we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto other things. Last Sunday, Pastor Daniel led us through an amazing time of prayer and worship. If you were here, the amount of people that reached out and said, why don't we do that more often? Well, guess what? We do it every month. It's called Seek. It's just on a Monday night, and so the first Monday night of each month, if you're interested in stuff like that, those are the opportunities where we come together and we worship and we pray and we just seek the throne of grace. And so I know it was so instrumental to so many people last week. So this week, talking about being constant in prayer, and I don't think you can get constant in prayer unless you have this thing in your life called abiding. There's like three messages, again, that I've gotten. I just kind of recycle them and just kind of dress them up differently. Abiding in Christ is such a foundational message. And here's how I've explained it over the years. Many of us, we understand salvation, right? We're born again. We're saved from depravity and hell and the separation from God. So we're saved, but that's really the only piece that we understand this side of heaven. Then we have this understanding of glorification, right? So we're going to be saved, right? We are saved now, but we are going to be saved ultimately face-to-face with Jesus. So we have this salvation, and then we have this glorification, but we miss this whole piece in the middle called sanctification. The amount of Christians that I've come across, especially American Christians, that this sanctification piece is completely missing from the conversation. Well, where's God in that? You know, I'm just born again. I got my get out of hell free card. I'm on my way to heaven, shot in victory. I'll live my life for me. And if God wants to do things in my life, he's sovereign. He'll make it happen. That's not what the scripture teaches us. You have a part to play, a huge part to play in the process of your sanctification. And so one of the things that's interesting to me, C.S. Lewis said it this way. It seems many times that God whispers to us in our prosperity, but he screams to us in our pain. What does that mean? It means many times when things are going great, the economy's good, my job's good, there's no, you know, pandemic, there's all these things happening, it's like the voice of God's quiet. Like, oh, I don't really need God, right? But when we get into those times where everything in our life is shaken, it's like God is screaming at us. He's saying, listen, hear my voice. Do you think God's silent in one season and talking in another? I don't think it's as much that as this, are we listening? See, many of us in this season, I think we're being challenged with, where is my anchor been? We're going to talk about that next week. But what have I been anchoring into? But here's the thing. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough for you? Western Christianity lives with such prosperity that we don't have a lot of the day-to-day issues that the rest of the world or church history has had. And so really what's happening is we are having a crisis of faith, which I think is a good thing. But the conversation today is, when it comes to my sanctification, when it comes to being constant in prayer, what am I anchoring my peace or my faith into? Is Jesus really enough? Is he sovereign supreme? Is he really this miracle worker that we just sang about? Is he really this God that sees the beginning from the end like we read in Psalms 46 during worship? That he does have this justice side of him. He has this grace side of him. So we have a part to play in our sanctification. Does that get anybody excited this morning? Because a lot of people are like, oh, that means it sounds like work. I don't like that. So John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Speaking of Jesus, Jesus is speaking to him. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit in, of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, really nothing of eternal significance. You can do plenty in life, but Jesus is speaking of that eternal peace. Abiding in Christ. Abide simply means to continue to remain connected. So we're talking about constant in prayer today. We're talking about praying always. That's the Ephesians we're reading today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And so if we're going to be constant in prayer, it involves this peace of intimacy with Christ. It involves this peace of abiding in Jesus. And so some key takeaways from John chapter 15. The passage emphasizes intimacy between Christ and the Father, as well as intimacy that Christ wants with us, just like he has with the Father. Think about that. Jesus is saying, look at the relationship I have with my Father. That's the same intimacy that I want with you. That's beautiful. It says, Christ spoke about the importance of bearing fruit and the consequences of those who don't bear fruit. Did you see how the Father was glorified when you produce kingdom fruit? God is glorified. And you know what else it talked about? If you produce fruit, that he will do what? He'll prune you. Pruning is a process. That means there's fruit in your life, and so pruning can be painful. If you think about a plant that you're pruning, you're actually cutting away many times pieces that are actually alive. Some of it's dead, but God knows what we need. So in this season of our life, which we'll get into a little bit next week, sometimes we blame Satan or we blame bad on things that God's doing. He's saying, no, Nate, I'm pruning that away because you're producing fruit and I want to produce more fruit out of your life because I want kingdom fruit. I want God, my Father, to be glorified. What we're also seeing in here is we must depend totally on Christ. Our prayer life changes when we abide in him and we have his heart. So this constant in prayer, when you have the heart of God, when you're intimate with Christ, when you're walking in an intimate, abiding relationship, your prayer life changes. You don't go to God only for your petitions and what you have need of. It opens your eyes to the bigger kingdom conversation. So what does it look like when you're abiding in Christ? You develop a hunger for God's word. You spend time diving into the Bible. You reflect on what is being said. You apply it to your life. You're a self-feeder. I'll say this. One thing we keep saying week in and week out is increase the diet of the Word of God in your life. There are so many voices and so much going on, and biblical community. We need biblical community. But here's the thing that we've noticed in American Christianity is we come to church to get our weekly fix and to get our touch from Jesus and to get our encouragement, and then we kind of, it's like a tire that's slowly losing air. Well, I might go back Wednesday night because I'm kind of down, and you know, I go back Sunday and everything's great, and so we're relying upon the corporate gathering. The corporate gathering is anointed. It's a part of what God's called us to, but God's called you to be a self-feeder, to be constant in prayer, to have intimacy with him, to where in the middle of Monday morning, the worst day of your, worst time of your week sometimes, you have peace, you have joy, you have the fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because you're an abider in Christ, because you're self-feeding. We've taught and trained people, just call a pastor, he'll pray for you. Just go meet with an elder and just come to church, and all those things are not wrong and bad, but Jesus requires something from your sanctification in your own personal life. This is some of the biggest ahas with people at Catalyst is I'm responsible to dig into the Word of God. Well, don't look at it as a chore or responsibility. Look at it as an invitation. Because Jesus, it says, he is the Word. So you're participating with him. It's his Word. It's life. It's power. Throughout your day, if you're an abider in Christ, you assume a posture that allows you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. What other voices are speaking so loud that you can't hear what the Holy Spirit is saying? We eat on all these things. We allow all these influences. We digest them, and we think on them, and then we say, man, why don't I have peace, and where's God in this? I gave him 5 minutes this morning, right? I gave him a devotion. I listened to worship music. I mean, I could have been listening to sports talk, but I listened to worship music. God, where are you at? You see, it's like we have this idea that God's just at our beck and call. No, we're called to be remaining in him, connected to him, constant in fellowship with him. You don't look at what people would do for you. Rather, you seek out a way to love people through God's love. That's what an abider in Christ looks like. Throughout your day, you find your heart seeking to draw closer to Jesus no matter what is going on around you. You're at work. Your work is no longer, gosh dang it, I don't like this boss. It's how do I make my work worship and its ministry to God? You see godly fruit all around you, not because of your efforts, but because you're in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and through you. So many times people say, man, that was an anointing. Like last week, oh, Pastor Daniel, that was so awesome. That had nothing to do with Pastor Daniel. All he did was an abider in Christ and just was led of the Lord and played his part. You can't put him on a pedestal or me on a pedestal or somebody else on this pedestal. That's Jesus that's the only one, right? You can have those same moments and times all on your own with him. And that's what an abider in Christ looks like. So, again, talking about constant in prayer begins with abiding in Christ. Everybody still with me? If you've been around Catalyst for a long time, that should not be news to you. And if you're sitting here going, we know this, Nate, move on, then you need a refresher. You need the joy of the Lord. Because if the Word of God is becoming mundane to you, if it's becoming a chore to you, there's a problem there. If this is just, well, we've heard that before, the Scripture doesn't say how many times you heard it. Are you walking it out in your life? Are you obeying it? Are you walking the truths out? Jesus said, for those who hear my words and obey them, you're wise. If you hear my words and don't obey them, you're unwise. I mean, he didn't say it. He didn't like smack him in the face and say, you're just a babbling idiot. All he said was, man, why would you hear my words and not do them? That's unwise. And so if we're getting stuck on this, I've heard that before, and it's just old news. I don't understand that. The Scripture is alive. Powerful, sharper than two-edged sword. And in this day and age, we should be consuming so much of God's word. We should be in biblical community. We should be in prayer, constant in prayer. We should be in worship and fellowship with the Spirit. So Ephesians 6:18, here's our text from Ephesians today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful there, to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we're going to break this down here. Prayer is one main way we incorporate the weapons of God. If you've been with us, we just came off of the weapons of God. We've been talking about that. Then we talked about standing. Prayer is one way. It's actually talked about more in this context in Ephesians over and over. We saw it in chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 5. I think all the chapters we've seen prayer. It's a constant conversation. Prayer is one way to initiate the weapons of God. The word prayer here in the Greek means to petition the deity. So it's a petitioning. It's a conversation. The word always. So the word always, like when you hear that, praying always, I think many of us, our minds just shut down because we're like, there's no way I can pray always. Like that doesn't make sense. Well, the word can mean all the time, but it also means opportune time on all occasions or to be ready at all times. That same Greek word Paul used earlier in chapter 5 when he talked about understanding the times. He talked about understanding the will of God. So he was talking about timing. Do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord is doing. So it's that same word there. So it's not like you walk around in a trance and you're like in a yoga pose all day long. It's saying that you're constant in prayer in the sense that you're always ready. And your default is like, oh my gosh, let's look at what the CDC is saying today. You know, your default is, hey, that's great. I'm going to take the wisdom of man, but I'm going to anchor my faith into the wisdom of God. I got a bad report. Oh no, I don't know what to do. You go to the presence of God. You go to the Word of God. That's that constant in prayer. That first place should always be to Jesus. And that's not a knock if it's not, but to say, to train yourself, it's just like a little kid. You know, a kid, watch them. I've watched kids out on the playground. A little kid's going and like wants nothing to do with mommy until she scrapes her knee. And then all of a sudden it's, where's that safe place? Where's mommy? That's what they know. So for us with God, we're like children to God. And so that first place, that abiding in Christ, that constant in prayer means no matter what's going on, my first initial response should always be Jesus. Well, that sounds hyper-spiritual. No, it's called a son and a daughter of God. See, it just blows my mind. We were raised in this American culture. If you give God the first 5 minutes of your day, he'll bless the rest of it. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus is not some check mark that we check off like a grocery list. hey, honey, I'm going to meet you once a week. I have to use this example over and over, but I'm going to meet my wife once a week for an hour, and I'm going to give you the best hour, and I'm going to give you 100%, and then I'll see you again. Well, wait a minute, I got baseball next. Oh, wait, the Super Bowl next. No, I'll see you in 3 weeks. How is that relationship going to last? It's not going to last. We do that with God. It sounds silly and giggly when we look at it that way, but that's how we view God. Or we need God for nothing except, well, I'm already saved, I'm going to heaven, that's fine. Until the doctor's report, or until the CDC guidelines, or until. See, that's not the relationship. The relationship is to be constant in prayer, always abiding in Christ, connected to the vine. And the problem is we've got this sin nature. The part of the sanctification is saying no to the flesh and saying yes to the Spirit. Romans 7 and 8, just go back and read that. It's a constant struggle and a constant battle to say, I'm putting my flesh under, putting my sin nature aside, and I'm saying yes to Jesus. And we just don't like that. That's an immature view of looking at it, but that's the way it is. You know, Paul told the Corinthian church, man, you've got all these spiritual gifts, but you're behaving as mere unchanged men. You have constant strife, and you have disunity. You have all these, you know, there was racism, and there was social status. Paul was addressing all these things. He said, doesn't matter how many spiritual gifts you have, where's the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And so that's that piece with being constant in prayer. It's allowing the Holy Spirit's fruit to come out of our lives. Does that make sense? Everybody still with me? Okay, good. Supplication. Supplication means to seek or ask by humble request or an earnest request. So he's saying by prayer or petition or with a humble seeking or a request or an earnest request. It's a I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to push everything else aside to get to this thing. In the spirit, this one, I don't know. I don't want to get down a rabbit trail because I can get down those rabbit trails. But I was raised that in the spirit meant something totally different. As I've gotten older, I realize in the spirit it means nothing about how I was raised. But a lot of people think it means like, oh, that's Paul's speaking in tongues and all that. That's not even in the context anymore. In the spirit likely refers to the sensitivity to be led by the Spirit when we pray, how we pray, and about what we pray. So when he's saying in the Spirit, it's not just this man-made rote or repetition or just going, you know, off of a schedule necessarily. Schedules aren't wrong and bad, but many times we schedule God right out of the prayer conversation. You know, Jesus said, don't be like the heathens who just vain repetition and there's nothing to it. So when he says in the Spirit, it's yielding to the presence of God. Like Daniel led us in last week, there's the Bible, there's worship, there's hands raised if that's okay for you, and there's on your knees, and there's letting the Spirit lead you. Being quiet and saying, what are you speaking, Spirit? Well, what if that's my emotions? Well, what if it is your emotions? God gave you your emotions. You're not standing up saying, thus saith the Lord, and prophesying. All you're doing is saying, God, this is me and you in a time of prayer and petition. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And if you don't think the Holy Spirit speaks today, where do you get that from? Where's your Bible reference? Because everything I see in the New Testament is, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. I already quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We see this over and over that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, hey, I'm leaving. It's better that I leave because when I leave, I'm not just going to give you a book. He didn't say, I understand the Bible is the authoritative word of God, and the Holy Spirit's always going to come along saying, I don't even know why I'm on this. Somebody needs to hear this. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a person, a personality. He speaks, he comforts, he intercedes, he strengthens, he standbys. He's a standby for you. He's a helper. Jesus didn't say I was going to give you a scroll full of writings. He said, I'm giving you a person, and it's better that you have him. Because if I don't give you him, then you don't have what you need. And it was talked about over and over. Jesus pointed to the Holy Spirit. So when he's saying in the Spirit, let's not over-spiritualize it, but let's not under-spiritualize it. You know, some of the worst board members and elders I've ever seen in churches, I get to work with churches all over the United States, the Abiding Network and influencers, are businessmen that come in and want to run the boards like a business. The church is an organism. It's not a business. There's a business side to it. But these guys who can do wonderful things in the business world, they come in there and they say, check mark, and they try to lead that way. No. You're not qualified to lead God's people if you're going to do it according to the business. It's the same thing here. Many times we go into prayer and we want to order God and box him in, and this is saying, be led by the Spirit. always going, the Word of God is the standard. The Holy Spirit always confirms the Word, and vice versa. But being led in the Spirit, the tense of the verb pray in this, it's a present tense. Not just I prayed yesterday or prayed 10 minutes ago. It's a present tense thing. And so prayer should be something that is present tense. We are called to keep praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. So whatever that looks like, if it's just reading the Word of God. Remember we went in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, the prayer that Paul prayed. Colossians prayer. You can pray those prayers. Pray the Word of God. But also learn to be led by the Spirit. You can pray your petitions. Have a list. But sometimes people, all they have is a list, and they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. They just go in there with their list. Paul said the term all the saints. Paul asks for prayer. The way he asks for prayer shows that in addition to prayer for your own needs, you must also get your eyes focused off your individual wants and needs, then back on God, His ability, His family, and the gospel. So many of us, when we go to prayer, it's just about me and my petitions. I don't know if immature is the right word, but think about it. When you're growing in your sanctification, you're starting to see my prayer time. It's not about all my petitions. Let me say it this way. I don't want to come across crass. But years ago, I was studying Scripture, and I just clearly saw this. I'd never seen it. All these years, I've studied the Bible. And it talks about Jesus said, Nate, I will take care of your needs. I will supply your needs. I will take care. I will supply all these places. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. He says that He's going to supply and take care of. I need to just let Jesus take care of all that. And then when I go into my prayer time, it's a time of fellowship and intimacy. And I get to pray for others. Pray the heart of God. Because there's a lot of needs in people's lives. If someone asks you to pray for them, don't say, yeah, brother, you know, we're going to be praying for you if you're not going to be praying. If you tell someone you're praying, then say, okay, how specifically can I partner with you in prayer? What is it? Or grab their hand right there and say, let's pray right now. Not just this religious response of praying for you. You get the bad news. I'm praying for you, man, as you continue to scroll the Facebook and the social media. Which one's a better investment? One that's eating away at your peace? One that's pulling you away from the anchor of Christ? Or taking somebody who's in a need in a moment and taking the Word of God in prayer on their behalf. That's the eternal peace. That's the one that's producing eternal fruit. Everybody still with me? These are not, again, I think prayer conversations, many times we teach on prayer and it's just these simple principles. Well, the principle is the relationship with Jesus. That's why our vision is knowing Christ and making Him known. I can't change you. I can't fix you. I can't transform anybody. That's Jesus' job. My role is to connect the head to the body. That's what I get to do. I get to introduce people to Jesus. I get to welcome them into a proximity with Christ and then let Jesus do what Jesus does. But that's not anything that I can take credit or blame for. And then walk with people through their ups and downs in life and to be there with them. But guess what? That's also your role in the body of Christ. Remember Ephesians chapter 4? When we read through all the unity of the Spirit and all those things, and each one has a gift, and God's given us gifts in the house, and that every joint supplying. So what are you supplying to the body of Christ when it comes to this conversation of prayer? All right, moving on to another one. I wanted to go through a few of these on this topic. So we've got abiding in Christ and constant in prayer. So if you're constant in prayer, it's a part of your sanctification process. But Paul laid the foundation. Now let's jump over to Philippians 4. We're going to go through a couple verses that I think we gloss over sometimes. So Philippians 4, 6 through 9. This is probably one of the most popular passages of Scripture right now because everybody's dealing with stress, anxiety, and fear. Be anxious for nothing. So do you think that's a crass, jerky, you know, Paul's just being a stinker saying, dude, stop being anxious. What's wrong with you? He's not saying that. He's saying, hey, look, the standard is, as an abider in Christ, you don't have to be anxious, but there's a whole couple of other paragraphs that go with this. But in everything. So everybody say, but. We love big conjunctions at Catalyst, right? Now, we usually like them when it has to do with, I once was, but I now am, right? I once was lost, I once was dark, I once was depraved, but now I'm a son, now I'm sanctified, right? But when it says, be anxious for nothing, but, and then it gives you some work to do, many times we just gloss over that, right? Well, if God doesn't want me anxious, he'll just make it happen, and God should just zap me, and the Holy Spirit, and my pastor should just pray, and No, he's telling you there's a part that you play. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in everything. Everybody say, in everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So he tells us, in everything, not because of everything. I've heard people say, man, I'm just thanking God for the sickness because, you know, it's teaching me something. He didn't tell you to be thankful for the trial. He said, in the midst of the trial, in spite of the trial. Well, I just am praising God for, you know, COVID because of, you know, whatever. Because God's sovereign. I thank God that he allowed me to get in this car wreck today because, what? That's different than saying in everything, in spite of COVID, in spite of the world. Let me just say this. I was thinking about this. You know, my family, I just wear my family out. So now I get to wear you guys out, right? I've been in and out of the pulpit a lot the last few months. So some of these things that just rattle around in my brain, and so they're tired of hearing it. So I just thought about this. You know, we think about it. I want to be so careful. We just think that our day and time in history is like the yardstick for the rest of history, right? We think that we're so prideful as Americans that like the world's history and the future rests on our way of seeing things. There's a whole multiple generations before us. We think this is the worst time in human history. It is not even close. Just study. Have you studied history? Have you studied church history? All that's happening is we're actually feeling and sensing and having a small taste of what 97% of the world and most of church history experiences. And we're all losing our ever-loving minds, right? Churches are splitting. People are quitting church. People are saying, well, God must be, and they're going off into progressive Christianity. By the way, that cultish class, people think, why would we talk about cults? Because they're everywhere, and I guarantee you 99 to 100% of you have had dabblings. You don't even know it. Some of the stuff you watch and listen to, it's cultish stuff. And it's affecting your worldview, and you don't even know it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. No, the Bible doesn't say that. So we have to go back to the Word of God. And so what I'm saying is, it's not any worse than it's been in the past. But it's really coming home into our front yard. So that shouldn't make you feel any better, but I'm just telling us that it's not like God's punishing us, right? Think about this. I've heard the word Antichrist and the rapture more in the last 6 months than I've heard. And you can be mad at me and angry with me. Guess what? If this whole thing is the mark of the beast, you can't stop it. It's prophetic. If it's the mark of the beast, we should say, even so, Lord, that means you're closer than ever. I don't think it is. But even if it is, who do you think you are? Again, it's that American, we're going to pray and we're going to stand and we're going to stop the Antichrist. What? Who? Have you read your, no, wait, you probably haven't because most Americans haven't read their whole Bibles. Have you read the last Jesus wins? But it comes through tribulation. It comes through trial. It comes through the sufferings. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. So who are you anchoring into? Bible prophecy, escape from tribulation, rapture mentality. We should love Jesus coming back, but guess what? We have a lot of work to do before he does come back. There are people lost all over the place. If I'm going down, I'm taking people with me. And down, I mean, if this is the last hurrah for humanity. And so here's the thing. It is bad, but it's really not as bad as it could be. But here's the thing. I don't care how bad it's ever been. Only you know where you are. And if you're in a dark place, then it's a dark place. And there is grace and there is mercy. And there is compassion. I am not minimizing what you're going through by any means. November of last year through April of this year, the darkest season that I can remember in my family's life and my life, darkness. I have no idea. Now, I do have a lot of, the Lord showed me a lot of things, but I'm like, I'm an encourager. I have a spiritual gift of encouragement. I've never dealt with any. My wife dealt with depression years ago and the struggle with mental illness, all that stuff. We've talked about our story. But me personally, I'm like, man, what is this? So I feel like I'm not trying to be crass or just get over it. I'm saying we have a part to play in this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Are you giving voice to the enemy? Are you giving voice, complaining, constantly grumbling, griping? We even had to have a talk this week, me and Monica, about we like to talk and discuss. I'm a verbal processor. She's a, I don't know how to explain it, but we go back and forth and it's good. But we even said, we've got to stop. We're trying to gain clarity. And at some point, we have to go back to Thanksgiving because it can just be toxic. And it's not matter or bad stuff. We're just trying to figure some stuff out. So with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Before he ever got to the request, he talks about thanksgiving. He talks about not being anxious. He talks about the relationship, the prayer, the petitioning of the dean, the supplication, that earnest request. Can you really earnestly request and petition and abide with Christ in a five-minute devotion a day? I mean, maybe you can. But my mind sometimes is so confused that it takes me 15, 20 minutes to get quiet enough to even say, man, I don't even know what's going on, Lord, to pray. I've got to just wind my mind. I've just got to take time. That's why I love to meditate on the Word of God. I love to get quiet. I love the contemplative kind of worship where I'm just kind of listening to worship, reading the Word, just kind of I'm quieting my mind and kind of letting my spirit kind of waking up because of all these voices. And then it says, and then the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding. See, here's the thing. We can talk all day long to gain understanding, but the peace of God, you're never going to gain the peace of God by understanding, by mental understanding. Well, why is this group doing this? And who said that? And I can't believe this. It's fine to analytically process, but the peace of God goes beyond the intellect. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we want that peace, right? But are we abiding in Christ? Are we setting aside other voices? Are we petitioning God? Are we in biblical community? Are we in accountable community? Those are the conversations. Then it says, finally, brethren, again, I think we ignore all of this stuff. All we want is the anxious for nothing, right? All we want is the peace that surpasses understanding. All we want is our peace to the peace of God to guard our hearts and mind. But then it says, finally, brethren, and it gives you another thing to do. This is that constant in prayer conversation. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate takes time. It takes removing other voices, which we'll get into next week. The word meditate in the Hebrew and the Greek, it can mean to mutter quietly, to say over and over, or to silence your mind and your voice and just to be quiet. When's the last time you were just quiet before the Lord and just waited on the Lord? Not with devices. Every time you hear the ding, you're like, oh, well, grocery list. Oh, someone's trying to get a hold of me. Oh, it must be another CDC guideline. Oh. Getting quiet. Prayer, he said, in meditation, meditate on these things. And then he said, the things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I've heard the argument many times over the years, oh, that was Jesus, and I can't do that. And oh, that was the apostles, and I can't do that. Well, there was a couple things Jesus did that we can't do, but there's other things Jesus said, do as I did. And the apostles, follow me. Paul said, what you saw in me, it wasn't because he was the apostle, it was because he was an abider in Christ. And so what you see in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you have the God of peace, guess what comes with that? The peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We could just preach a whole 10 sermons. I think we have on love. So look at your life. Look at your driving habits. That's where I get love just walks, throws right out the window. I'm like, okay, I'm not a Christian in my car, right? Is that what that looks like? You know, if I had a, you know, Jesus saves bumper sticker, I might get pulled over because someone thought my car was stolen because I'm driving. You know, it's just something I'm being, that's part of my sanctification. The other day I was driving on the road and I've never been a cusser. I don't cuss. I called somebody, man, that guy's a dopey driver. He don't know what he's doing. Of course, I know what I'm doing, right? And I literally had to just grasp. The Holy Spirit was like, who do you think you are? I broke down. I started crying. I was like, why did I called this guy? He may be the most outstanding citizen in the world. He may be the best person that's ever lived. And so the sanctification process is taking those moments in our day, whether it's a boss that's mean or whether it's a diagnosis you didn't expect or it's more bad news. But what it boils down to is taking the time to say, I'm going to meditate on all of these things, good, just, lovely, of a good report, praiseworthy. What things, which again, we'll get into next week, but what things are am I listening to all the time, constantly listening to? How much louder is God's, or how quiet or loud is God's voice in your life? I ask you that. That should challenge all of us. There's a thing on your phone where you can actually, it tracks all your apps. You can see how much time you spend on each one. And it just appalls me sometimes when I've had these conversations with people and we'll pull up the phone and they're like, oh my gosh, I just didn't realize. Well, I'm only spending an hour a day on Facebook. Well, go to the others. Oh yeah. 2 hours a day, 3 hours. Before you know it, how much time are you taking in all of this ungodly, worldly, or maybe not ungodly, it's just not godly, if that makes sense. It's not praiseworthy, it's not good, virtuous. If it's just news, even the news today is so just wacky. And then say, but I did a 5-minute devotion. How is that going to work? I'm going to drink 5/5 of vodka a day because I have this thing called a liver, and it's just going to filter all of it out. No, eventually my liver is going to say, that's way too much. My body's going to say, you can't take that. I'm going to cram down McDonald's and Krispy Kreme all day, every day, but I'm going to take a multivitamin in the morning, right? And I'm going to walk around the neighborhood a mile, right? And I'm good. No, you're taking and consuming your physical flesh with this, and yet in the spirit realm or in the soul realm, what are we listening to? What are we watching? Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These are God's promises to his people. We're going to read a couple more here. Do we believe in this God? Do we believe that he is sovereign? Do we believe that he not only saved us and he will save us, but he's saving us, he's sanctifying, he's renewing our mind, which we'll get into all of the sticks of that next week, the renewing of the mind and all of that stuff. But what part am I playing in my sanctification process? The average American person is in church, what, 40 hours a week, 40, even less, some. You think that's enough to combat all the attacks of the enemy, the stealing, killing, destroying, the worldly stuff? Do you think it's enough to pass Jesus on to the next generation? You want the peace of God? You want to be in prayer consistently? It takes this conversation of abiding in Christ. And you know, I know I joke a lot, and you guys probably think my upbringing was this horrible, dark, you know, couldn't watch Smurfs, everything was demonic, and everything was bad. But you know what? I don't apologize at all. I don't apologize. I have told my mom over and over, thank you. You helped me. There were so many things people say, you never saw that? I never saw that. It's just one more thing I don't have to water out or dilute out of my mind that was there. I know for me, I went to a birthday party in third grade, and we watched like all night long Freddy Krueger, which I was already this sensitive kid, right? I literally had terror and nightmares for years. Dark. I would wake up in night sweats. They're trying to cast out demons. Like there was just a dark, dark season, and it all was you know, stirred up in that moment because I watched this thing, right? Why do we allow these things in our life, and then over here we're wondering, why am I dealing with this? Why am I struggling with this? Common sense says it, but even the scripture tells us. So is this not the same God who says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed? The Lord your God is with you. 2 Timothy 1:3. So we always quote, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, verse 7, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind, right? But do we read the rest of it? Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Do you see the weight that Paul was carrying? That shows an abider in Christ. He said, my prayers constantly day and night. Do you think Paul was just being poetic? Paul, we see this. You know, Paul was a. If you just look at him from the outside, he was probably rough around the edges, kind of in people's face, you know, kind of just, you know, just told it like it was. But if you look at Paul, if you dig down deep, he had this deep desire for people and to see them life change, and he struggled with what they struggled. But look at what he said here, day and night. It's like a parent to a child, right? Yeah, I don't care. My daughter's moved out and married, and it's like there's not a night goes by I'm not praying for her, praying for them. Because there's just that weight. And Paul's saying the same thing. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith is in you, which dwelt at first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind. So he's saying, Timothy, you've got to stir up some things. You've got to remind yourself of the word of God. You've got to be in prayer. You've got to be in that abiding in Christ posture. Does that make sense? I think it's, again, we quote these, we cherry pick scripture constantly. And so many times we miscontext it, but it's not the right context. But this one is very good. Paul's saying, look, day and night, it's that picture. Psalm 91, we'll close with this. Worship team can come. I'm just going to read this out while I say that. And I'll probably have 10 more things to say. But Psalm 91, I just want you to hear this. Because the other night, I just kind of had a moment. I was struggling with some stuff. It's either it was physical and it was causing me emotional issue, or it was emotional, it was causing me, I didn't know which one. So I just got my Bible out and I just turned to Psalm 91. And by the end of it, I just had total peace. I had total encouragement. So no matter where you are you looking? This last season has shown us what is shakable, Hebrews 12. Everything that's shakable. And what we're doing as Christians, instead of going to the rock of Christ Jesus, we're looking for the next stable thing. Well, if we can just get through this curb, right? If we can just, go quarantine, all of us kind of do that. Oh, if the vaccination, if that works, and we're looking for the next safest thing. Oh, if our government will just, if the doctors will just, if, and what all we're doing is we're putting our faith in that next seemingly stable thing, but it's temporary, and it's going to burn up, it's going to fall, it's going to, break down. Politics, if we just get a new president there, we got to win 2022, all we're doing is we're anchoring into that next, what we feel safest thing. And God's saying, listen, listen, listen. I don't know about you, I'm rereading, every year I read the Bible, but this year I'm reading it chronologically, and so many times I'm reading it going, come on, Israel, like you didn't learn your lesson. Your dad literally just did that, and God brought condemnation, and you're going to go and do the same thing. And then I look at my own life, and I go, ah. It might not be a cycle of apostasy like they were doing, but it's a cycle of, I'm going to anchor my hope into this. I'm going to anchor my hope into this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And God's going, nay, do you not see? And God's gracious and compassionate and loving, and he draws us, but he also brings pruning. He also brings discipline. And as we're going to see next week, he brings shaking, Hebrews 12. Well, God would never allow that. Reread your Bible. Not only would he allow it, he'll initiate it. Well, God would never allow, hey, have you read Job's story? Not only did God allow Satan to do it, he said, hey, Satan, guess what? I've got this great idea. Have you considered my servant Job? That wasn't Satan's idea. It was God's idea. And we, American Christianity, says, my God would never do that. He did it, and he'll do it again. We read the Bible through the eyes of what we want it to say. Hey, Peter, you're going to go through what I went through. Strengthen the believers. You're going to have the same death I had, Peter. God would never allow that. He allowed it. Hey, apostles, 11 of the 12 met Jesus face to face at the hands of martyrdom. But God would never allow it. He allowed it. God, it's not about what's best for us. It's about what's best for the gospel and for the glory of God. But here's the thing. If God allows it, he brings grace and he brings mercy and he brings anointing and he brings the power to sustain. Corrie ten Boom, there's a quote. If you've never read her story with the Nazis and concentration camps, and she talked about when they were getting to the point where they knew they were going to be taken, and she said, Dad, I don't know if I can do this. I'm afraid. I don't feel like I have the grace. You seem so peaceful. And he said, if I'm going to send you on a trip, he said, do I give you the ticket a month out, a year out, 5 years out? She said, well, no, you give me the ticket as I'm getting on. And he said, it's the same with God's grace. When you need the grace, it'll be there. And she said, we experienced that. And you see that Jesus told his apostles, don't be concerned about when they take you up before the courts and they're going to crucify. He said, don't be concerned about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. He said, I'll be with you in that moment. Now, we're talking extreme, right? But is it that extreme? We got brothers and sisters right now in the midst of that. And it's just being highlighted because it's the newest news article. Paul said, and for me, that utterance would be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. That in it, in the gospel, in that place of suffering, he said, that the word of God would go forth. That's what Paul asked for. He didn't ask to be delivered out of the prison. He said that wherever I go, that the gospel would be magnified. So, closing this down. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, is that you this morning? Are you an abider in Christ? Are you resting under his provision? shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Those are all things that we're dealing with in our day and age, right? All the things that we're dealing with, He just laid. He said, but you should not be afraid. You're abiding in Christ. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, show him my salvation. He said, God said, because you have set your love upon him. He said, because you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, because you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. See, that's the key. Circumstances are going to come. The weapon's going to come. The enemy's going to fight. The world's going to continue to raise. But are you under the shadow? Are you constant in prayer? Are you abiding in Christ? Can you look up and say, I see it, but Lord, I thank you for the peace that keeps me from it. These are promises from God. And if you don't believe them, then get back into your word and say, Holy Spirit, give me peace. Give me faith. Remember what the apostles said. They said, we believe you, Jesus, but help our unbelief. Anybody there this morning? I've been there a lot. Oh, I believe God's word. Oh, but wait, about what about this, this, and this? But Lord, help my unbelief. All right, would you stand with us this morning? On the way out, we're going to sing this song, and we're just going to worship God. Think about all the things we've talked about. Putting your intimacy, relational intimacy with Him in context. Putting yourself under that shadow. Putting yourself in that place of, man, I do have a part to play in my sanctification, whatever that looks like. And then just worship God. Trust God this morning with your peace, with your turmoil, with anything that's going on in your life.